In his turn of the 20th century epic, Up From Slavery, Booker T. Washington included the story of a former slave from Virginia. In his conversation with the now old man, he wrote, "I found this man had made a contract with his master 2 or 3 years previous to the Emancipation Proclamation, to the effect that the slave was to be permitted to buy himself by paying so much per year for his body. And while he was paying for himself, he was to be permitted to labor where and for whom he pleased. The slave moved to Ohio, where he began working, earning enough money to send a portion back to his owner to buy back his freedom. When emancipation was declared, the ex-slave was still $300 in debt to his ex-master. After a few months, the young man walked back from Ohio to Virginia and handed his ex-master $300 plus interest. When asked why he did that, the old man replied, 'I knew that I did not have to pay my debt, but I had given my word to my master, and I have never broken my word. How could I have enjoyed my freedom if I had not fulfilled my promise?' Abba Father, you have given us the choice to make decisions regarding how we live our lives. The content of those decisions and how we make them is a reflection of our integrity. Help us understand today what it means to live our lives with godly integrity. Open our hearts and our ears to hear your message to us today. In your blessed name, we pray." In this week's parasha, we are shown how integrity and the lack of this characteristic impacted the main actors in our ongoing story of Torah. As we read this morning, Esau was the one who displayed a grave lack of integrity as he traded his birthright for a bowl of stew. Let's revisit that moment. One day when Yaakov had cooked some stew, Esau came in from the open country exhausted and said to Yaakov, "Please, let me gulp down some of that red stuff. That red stuff. I'm exhausted." Yaakov answered, "First sell me your rights as the firstborn." "Look, I'm going to die," said Esau. "What use to me are my rights as the firstborn?" Yaakov said, "First swear to me." So he swore to him, thus selling his birthright to Yaakov. Then Yaakov gave him bread and lentil stew. He ate and drank, got up and went on his way. Thus Esau showed how little he valued his birthright. And in doing so, he also showed how little he valued God. In this passage, we see both parties displaying a grievous lack of integrity. I doubt very much that Esau was about to die merely for missing one day's meal. And thus giving away his birthright, given to him by Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty, was dishonest and a denial of Adonai's position within his life. By a similar token, Yaakov also displayed a lack of integrity when he took advantage of Esau's position and demanded his birthright in exchange for a mere bowl of stew. Why then did God judge Esau's lack of integrity greater than Yaakov's? Frankly, I'm not so sure he did. To work towards an understanding, let's first examine the behavior of the two sons of Yitzchak. Esau was a man of the field and forest. He was much more secure and comfortable being in the woods hunting. Yaakov, on the other hand, was much more a community man. He was more comfortable being with his family, especially his mother, Rebecca. Was the fact Esau was a non-religious sinner different from Yaakov's being a religious sinner? And what do I really mean by that? Right from the beginning, Adonai saw which son of Yitzchak would love him, in spite of their sinful natures. We see this much later when the prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 1, Esau was Yaakov's brother, yet I loved Yaakov, but hated Esau. I made his mountains desolate and gave his territory to desert jackals. The line of Adonai Yeshua came through Yaakov, not through Esau, who was the elder of the two boys. Adonai saw something in Yaakov, a redemptive spirit perhaps, which he did not see either in Esau nor in his descendants, the Edomites. We know Yaakov had a heart for God, which he demonstrated many times throughout his life. However, by deceiving Esau and his father, Yitzhak, there were consequences to pay. I believe Yaakov needed to understand what it meant to be betrayed, as he betrayed both Esau and Yitzhak. It was not a coincidence then. Yaakov was betrayed by Laban and required to serve 14 years for the woman he loved, rather than the agreed upon 7 years. The title of today's message is Integrity More Than Honesty. I am told the mark of someone's integrity is what they do when no one is watching. And this brings us deeper into an understanding of integrity. There can be no human bond tighter than a person and her or his integrity. This is also the bond which draws us closer to Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. It's not what our lips say, but what our actions show that proclaims our integrity. How often have you observed Christian and Messianic believers who have talked about their being holy, set apart for Adonai, only to behave in such a way that is the exact opposite of their words? Unfortunately, we see this happening all the time. So what does it mean to be men or women of integrity? To approach this question, we must begin with Scripture, for herein lies Adonai's truth. First, let's journey to Proverbs 2, wherein it is written, "Thus you will walk on the way of good people and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land. The pure-hearted will remain there." The way of good people and the paths of the righteous both speak to the way of integrity. What, though, does it mean to be good in God's eyes? Look at this question carefully. It is not asking what it means to be good in our eyes, but through God's eyes. This puts a whole new slant on the issue of being good, don't you think? In our eyes, being good means to do the right thing and do them to the best of our abilities. But this is not how God sees goodness. How do we know this? Without being glib, because the Bible tells us so. Psalm 14 shares with us, "From heaven Adonai observes humankind to see if anyone has understanding, if anyone seeks God. But all turn aside, all alike are corrupt, no one does what is right, not a single one." These verses perhaps require a little unpacking. If we try to be good on our own accord, we will fail. Why? Because apart from Adonai himself, we are all corrupt. Not one of us does what is right in his eyes, unless we act in the grace he gives us. That's correct. Our good deeds alone are worthless if they are accomplished outside his grace. Emunah, trust in action, is dependent upon the grace he provides. I can have all the human trust I am able to muster, but without his grace impelling me, I will not move forward in that trust. How can that be, though, since Avraham received God's chen, his favor and grace, only after he took the first step to leave Haran? Well, God's grace fell upon Avraham since he knew this man of faith would take the first step. Perhaps an analogy might help. As a parent, you often know your child is going to do the right thing in a given situation, even though he or she has not yet moved. And as a good parent then, perceiving intuitively the deed will be done, you provide encouragement that is designed to propel your child towards the right course of action. In other words, you preemptively provide parental grace to your child, even before your child has acted. And this is what Adonai did for Avraham. Isaiah 64 provides us with another piece of the puzzle of being good in the eyes of Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. Let's read from that chapter. All of us are like someone unclean. All our righteous deeds like unclean rags. We wither, all of us, like leaves, and our misdeeds blow us away like the wind. Once again, if we perform deeds with any other motivation than to honor and obey Adonai, those good deeds are akin to dirt and dross. They are unclean because our motivation, our intentions, are not clean and pure. In this vein, I ask you to read with me Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do what my Father in heaven wants. Then I will tell them to their faces, I never knew you. Once more, the intention of our hearts signals our motivation for acting, and the motivation for our acting will signal to Adonai the degree of our desire to love and obey him. This is what goodness and righteousness are all about. Our obedience to his commands performed with and in love for him. Let's return to Proverbs for another piece of the integrity puzzle. Chapter 1 shares with us, to do what is right and just is more pleasing to Adonai than sacrifice. How do we know what is right? Verse 2 informs us, all a person's ways are right in his own view, but Adonai weighs the heart. Righteous behavior does not come from our desires, but from Adonai's. If the decision of what is right or wrong is ours alone to make, then we are all lost. For human nature declares we usually judge our behavior as being right. Thus, we need to consult God to determine the right course of action, either through his scripture or through his revelation to us. Taking this to its logical conclusion then, every decision we make concerning our right actions must be taken to God in prayer. Asking for the guidance of Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of God. In saying this, am I inferring we must take all our choice moments to God, such as, what will I wear today? Well, Chantel comes to me and says, what am I going to wear today? Of course, she's not asking me. Is she asking God? I don't think so. That, of course, would be silly. However, not far-fetched. As we continue to take our important decision moments to Him in prayer, and as we continue to lean on His guidance for the right choice to make, we are being trained to recognize two important qualities of godly decision-making and thus godly integrity. The first quality is that of integrity itself, of course. Each time we listen to His guidance in our decision moments, we are being conditioned to exercise His integrity in word and deed. By signaling to Him, we are willing to depend upon Him for guidance as we navigate our way through this life. We are offering ourselves as holy sacrifices to Him. We are surrendering ourselves to His will rather than to our own wills. The second quality of godly decision-making we receive from Him is that of recognizing His voice. Adonai Yeshua spoke to us about this when He said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. The phrase, my own know me, has very particular meaning. It is not merely a term of recognition. It is a term connoting intimate communion. This is similar to the level of intimate communion husbands and wives enjoy with each other when they walk in the way of Adonai. Such lovers are able to complete each other's sentences, often know where they are going to do next, and have a level of trust that constantly baffles the outside world. This is the level of knowing which comes from an intimate communion with Adonai Yeshua, Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, and is imperative for us to walk His path with godly integrity. It is only when in this relationship with Almighty God will we hear His quiet voice, anticipating intimate communion with Him. This is the level of integrity Adonai observed in Job. Listen to the interaction between Yahweh and Satan, as recorded in Job 2. Did you notice my servant Ayov, that there's no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil, and that he still holds on to his integrity even though you provoked me against him to destroy him for no reason? Here we are witness to another aspect of godly integrity, holding fast to one's faith in the middle of life-threatening adversity. We've all heard the phrase, fair-weather friends, those who are right beside you while everything is going well, but as soon as the train goes off the tracks, they disappear from your side. The same is true about fair-weather faith. How often are we witness to those who claim to love God and have an avowed desire to follow His path only as long as they are in a blessed place? As soon as trials and hardships come along their way, they change their tunes and abandon God and all their faith stood for in favor of different messages which promise instant healing, instant wealth, or instant whatever satisfies their immediate needs. This is not integrity, my friends. This is cowardice and opportunism. If we walk within godly integrity, we willingly accept and even welcome the trials which come our way, knowing they are designed to strengthen our faith, to build our integrity, and embolden our walk. In other words, enabling us to walk closer to Him and to become more intimate with Him. Very shortly, we will begin reading the story of Yosef, the son of Yaakov. Other than Adonai Yeshua, no one has displayed more godly integrity. Are you not sure what I mean by this? Let's take a preemptive look at what Yosef endured as he walked in righteousness. First, Yosef was betrayed by his family, specifically by his brothers. "Look, the dreamer is coming. So come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these water cisterns here. Then we'll say some wild animal devoured him. We'll see then what belongs to his dreams." Then he endured slavery. In Egypt, the Midianim sold Yosef to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, a captain of the guard. Shortly thereafter, Yosef was falsely accused of sexually abusing Potiphar's wife. "Look at this, my husband brought in a Hebrew to make fools of us. He came in and wanted to sleep with me, but I yelled out loudly. When he heard me yelling like that, he left his robe with me and ran out." Subsequently, he was wrongly convicted and sentenced to prison. Yosef's master took him and put him in prison in the place where the king's prisoners were kept. What sustained this young man through all of this was his walk of integrity with Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. And because he did not waver in his trust of Adonai, he was favored, meaning he received God's grace and he prospered even within prison. And so, beloved, we come to the ultimate question. Do we, you and I, have that degree of integrity? Have you ever asked Adonai Tzevaot El Shaddai for that depth of integrity? For it is only through His love and grace that such depth of integrity may visit us. Certainly, we are unable to develop this on our own. Oh yes, we may develop a level of integrity which the world holds dear, but that falls so short of God's standard on integrity. Yes, beloved, integrity is much more than honesty. It is an intentional walk on God's narrow path, desiring with our whole hearts, with our whole love, to become more like Him in everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. And so I ask each one of us, are we willing to develop that deep level of integrity, a level so deep we are willing to endure the harshest conditions, even to the point of death, and not lose our desire to love Him as fully as we are able? Abba Father, O dearest Abba, in our own strength we are unable to walk within Your integrity. Only through Your strength may we attain that deep level of commitment, a commitment so deep we are willing to walk through the trials and tribulations You place before us to help us become even more refined, able and willing to stand before You, knowing through Your eyes we are becoming more righteous with each trial we face. Abba, please give us the courage to strive toward Your standard of integrity. Provide for us the resilience needed to endure the trials You place before us, each one allowing us to become more righteous in Your sight. In Your precious name, we pray. Amen.